Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
11 minutes past 8, it's Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo. Sir Keir Starmer says being elected Labour leader is the honour and privilege of his life. He replaced Jeremy Corbyn at the weekend with 56% of the votes cast. Joining us this morning is Cambridge's Labour MP, Daniel Zeichner. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Julian.
Good to speak to you as always. You are a supporter of Sir Keir, I think, but I'm wondering if you were surprised at the margin of victory there. It's quite a hefty lump, isn't it?
Well, I am a strong supporter of Keir Starmer, and yes, I was surprised. I think when the contest started, people weren't entirely sure how it was going to play out. But I think what's happened, it's been a very long process, I have to say. What's happened is that people from across the party have been impressed by his integrity and also his absolute determination to unify, and particularly at the current time, to put the national interest first. So I was very, very pleased by the result. But, of course, it's only a start. Getting elected as leader is one thing. Winning elections and becoming Prime Minister is quite another.
Yeah, very much. And I guess there's a double set of unifying which needs to go on. First, within the Labour Party itself. You did very well, of course, being re-elected here, but elsewhere in the country, it was a disaster, really, for the Labour Party. So the need for Sir Keir to make sure that everybody is on side. I hate to do the old left-right thing, but, you know, there are people at one side of the party and at the other, and they both need to sing from that same hymn sheet.
Yes, and I think the first appointments yesterday reflect that, in the sense that clearly Annalisa Dodds has been playing an important role in developing Labour's economic policies, which I think were pretty popular, both in 2017, but more appropriately from her point of view in 2019.
Well, obviously not that popular,
sorry,
Daniel.
Sorry?
Obviously not that popular.
Well, I think there were a number of things going on, weren't there, in the election?
Yes, of course.
I think it was obviously partly about Brexit, it was partly about Jeremy Corbyn, but I didn't get much objection from people to the economic policies. And I think having her as Shadow Chancellor provides that continuity, which will give some people in the party reassurance that Keir's sticking absolutely to what he was saying, that he does not want to lose Labour's radical edge. And I think it's even more important now, at a time when not only we've got a health crisis, but I fear we're going to be having an economic crisis to follow.
Mm.
So just going back to where we were before probably isn't going to be an option. And I think Annalisa is well placed to develop the policies that will be attractive to the public, alongside a leader who, and don't get me wrong, I was very fond of Jeremy Corbyn, but I could see that people did not think he was going to be Prime Minister, whereas I think with Keir it's completely the opposite. People can look at Keir Starmer and see him as Prime Minister immediately.
It was interesting, actually, seeing him being interviewed by Andrew Marr yesterday morning on the BBC, and there was certainly an air of confidence, shall we say, about him, and just a very different style to Jeremy Corbyn, both in terms of the way the questions were being answered, no matter what the question might have been, and, of course, his attitude towards the government right now, and which seems to be, I've written in my notes here, critical friend, but it's a bit more than that. And clearly, by the sounds of things, he's going to take the government to task when the occasion arises.
Well, yes, because it's a very difficult situation for an opposition at times of national crisis, because the people, quite rightly, want politicians to work together to find a solution. But frankly, there's been a whole series of problems over the last few weeks, to put it mildly. I was watching Matt Hancock's interview on the Mar show yesterday, and it is extraordinary, isn't it, that we still don't really know how many ventilators are going to be available by the end of this week. This has been going on for months now, and of course we started in a very poor position because, compared to other European countries, because of a decade of underfunding of the National Health Service. So it's perfectly right for Keir Starmer to be making those points, asking those questions, but in the context of trying to achieve a better outcome. And that was the point he kept making, that it's right to ask the questions because it can change the policy now to get a better outcome for the country.
Looking at what's happening around us and the local service, I'm thinking particularly at Addenbrookes at this time. How do you think they've been performing? I guess so far we haven't seen. I know from people I know who work at Addenbrookes that things are busy to say the least. But we haven't had the surge that has happened in London and I think in Hertfordshire. But that's surely going to be on the way soon.
Well, one fears it may be. I saw Mike Moore, who's the chair of Addenbrookes, quoted in the local newspaper this morning saying that they hadn't got the numbers this weekend that they'd been anticipating a week ago, which is good. And obviously I talk to local council leaders and the people running the Resilience Forum on a near daily basis. And we were fearing a week ago that we would get this very large rise last week. Now, that may still be to come. We don't know. But and it's too soon to be optimistic. Obviously, we all want to be optimistic. But it's true at the moment. And that we haven't seen quite the numbers we were anticipating. But Addenbrookes has to be ready. And they've worked incredibly hard right across the piece, everybody through the hospital, to get to a situation where we should be able to cope. But, of course, it's unpredictable. We still don't know.
Our friends in the Lib Dems might have jumped the gun a bit, I fear, here, but they are suggesting that there is building work already underway at Addenbrookes to add a 150-bed extension to the hospital at this time. Presumably, you'd welcome that.
I think the people who are in charge are best placed to judge what's needed, and I would support them in whatever they're needing to do. So if that's their judgment, that's what's needed, then they've got my support.
Yeah, of course. So I'm thinking about the way that, as an MP, that you now deal and speak with constituents. Things must have changed tremendously. Are you? But presumably you're still having. I suspect your post bag is possibly or email inbox is larger than ever at this time. But how do you handle things like an MP surgery that you might do at another time?
We did it by phone, and that worked quite well. You're absolutely right to say we have had a huge rise in the number of inquiries, and they're very different kind of inquiries from the ones we normally get. Cambridge people often write to us about policy issues as well as sort of day-to-day problems. We are seeing just many more day-to-day problems, I'm afraid. And, of course, they're much more complicated to answer. In fact, quite often, I'm afraid, my office is not in a position to give detailed advice, but we can pass people on to the people who can. But, of course, there are some big policy issues, particularly around the help for businesses, because for a lot, particularly for people who are working as freelancers or independents, and we've got a lot of people out in Cambridge, the government scheme has frankly been full of holes. And obviously that's one of the things we can do, feed back to government to try and get them to improve it. And we've seen the iteration of announcements from the Chancellor over the last few weeks, and that has been as a response to pressure, I suspect, from quite a few MPs who are really shouting, like me, that we have got to be mindful of the fact that there will be an afterwards after this. And obviously Cambridge is a particularly young city and is affected perhaps slightly differently from other parts of the country. I have a real worry about the number of young people who are stuck in private rented accommodation, sometimes one room, for weeks. It's really tough.
Certainly over the weekend, I had my Boris-approved cycle ride on Saturday afternoon. It was pretty quiet out there. It seems that Cambridge, for the most part, is taking notice of the government advice to basically stay indoors and don't go out unless it's absolutely necessary to do so.
No, I think that's right. And obviously we've seen things on TV in other parts of the country. To some extent, I mean, I suspect parts of London had the same problem that I've just been describing in Cambridge. And, of course, it's been particularly hard for people when it's been beautiful weather. But I think the vast majority of people are behaving responsibly, and that's really good. The question is, and we've seen this in other European countries, We're in what kind of second stroke third week. How many weeks can people manage this? And it's a really, really hard ask for people. So obviously there was the discussion yesterday beginning to be about how you lift some of the restrictions if you get to that point, or when you get to that point, that the numbers look more stable. Very hard judgments, not easy. But I think people's behaviour has been responsible, and they're to be applauded for that.
Well, thank you as always for speaking to us, Daniel.
Thank you.
Stay safe, and no doubt we'll catch up in a few weeks' time. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Daniel Zeichner, Cambridge MP, and taking us to 8:21.
Cambridge 105 Radio.